Well, good evening and welcome to the Wednesday Rewind. It's a broadcast put on by Believer City Church. We broadcast over Street Level Radio, 101.7 FM in Menominee. We're also streaming on our website, jfbelievers.com. It's good to have you join us tonight. We'll be recapping the story of Samson from the book of Judges, chapters 14 and 15. We'll get to some clips from Sunday in a moment, but let's set it up to begin with. We have a story of a guy who is very, very self-interested. He doesn't have much interest in God. Now, this is in stark contrast to how his life began, or at least how his life was predicted to begin. If you remember from Judges chapter 13, we had Samson's parents visiting with the angel of the Lord, who was telling them that Samson is going to be set apart for God's special use during his lifetime. Namely, the promise was that he would begin to save Israel. So there's these high expectations for Samson. In chapter 13, his parents worship God. They seem to be on board with this. But by the time we start reading in chapter 14, we see that Samson himself is not on board with it. And so there's a big problem that's happening here. Now, on Sunday, we talked about the zoomed out big picture cause, the big picture dynamic that's happening in Samson's life. As Christians, we can have a difficult time understanding his story. I mean, do we give him credit as a guy who is a hero? He has a legitimate ministry. We can make movies about him. We can celebrate his exploits of strength and the different things that he did. Kind of give him the benefit of the doubt? Or do we look critically at him as somebody who violates all the vows that he was supposed to keep, generally just violates all of God's Old Testament law, the things that he's expected to do and all other believers are expected to do, a guy that's selfish to the core, a guy that can't seem to get along with anyone? Do we look at this guy critically and say, okay, God used him, but his life doesn't seem to be all that it should have been? And we fell into the latter camp on Sunday as we talked it through. You know, the big picture on Samson is God had an idea of how he would use Samson, and God ended up doing just that. Samson, for his part in it, he only gets to receive the blessing, to participate in it with God, and it's not even a blessing in the end, but he only gets to participate at the very, very end. Up until then, Samson is just doing what Samson wants to do. We explained on Sunday that the big picture was that Samson was being used by God to irritate the Philistines and to cause conflict between them and Israel. And the big idea here is the only thing that God needed beyond Samson's unlikability was to empower him by his spirit so that the conflict could get escalated. So we see numerous times God puts his spirit on Samson, enables him to be strong physically, to do these wild feats of strength. He kills a lion, kills 30 guys, he kills 1,000 guys without even having a legitimate weapon. But none of this is to say that God was endorsing Samson's selfishness. He was just using it. Okay? God uses all things for his purpose. God does that in our lives too. It's not our own perfection that God takes and blesses and uses to guide us further onward. God uses all things. Look at the book of Romans chapter 8. It says, all things work together for the good of those who love God. So for God's children, God does take all these things and works them together for the good. We do need to define what good is. Good does not always mean we get what we want. Good means God gets what he wants. So oftentimes there's situations that are difficult. We would call them trials or struggles. God will use those for our good by building our character, by building us further into dependence upon him. God will use those things to mature us, so that we're no longer immature, we're no longer stuck, you know, being without understanding or without having a sense of what is right and wrong, and he'll use it to grow us up. God will take things that we don't like necessarily, even if they're mistakes that we made, so negative consequences of our actions. God will take those things even, and he'll spin them around, and he'll work them into his plan and his project for us, and he'll use it to build toward his intended end. But that's the God we follow. He's strong, he's wise, he's all-knowing, he's powerful, he's everywhere. God can join the collective free will decisions of 8 billion people on our planet. God can work those all together toward his desired end. Because we said on Sunday, Samson had an idea of what his life would be, and yet God also had an idea of what his life would be. Now, before we go to the clips, the recap from Sunday, let's just bring this home into our lives. What is God doing in you, and what is God doing around you? What do you think God has in mind for your own life? Okay, maybe it's not some wild prediction that you're going to save an entire country. Maybe it's not some set of vows or rules that you're supposed to keep because your parents passed them down along to you. But God certainly has a plan for you, and God's certainly trying to do things in your life. What do you think that is? Is he using you? And maybe part two of this premise is he using you because of your faithfulness and in your faithfulness, or is he using you despite your unfaithfulness? Are you just getting tossed around by God? Is he just only using you? Okay. Or do you get to have the blessing of walking with him in what he's doing? You're participating with him willingly in what he's doing. A lot of us have our own ideas. A lot of us will make our own plans. And a lot of the time we'll insist that those things be how things end up. So we'll hold on to a job that we shouldn't keep. We'll hold on to a relationship we shouldn't have had in the first place. We'll insist of doing things that we want because we want them. And that's the inward sense of self inside of us that this just feels right. This is how my life is supposed to be. This is who I am. It would be wrong for me not to have these things. I would be harming my own self by not keeping these things. Okay? God is bigger and better than whatever our internal feelings tell us. Okay? God knows more than we do. God has more strength to hold things together, to make things happen. And God is wiser. God is better. Whatever we imagine for our own life, we can't even imagine what God would have planned. Okay, eye is not seen, ear is not heard. Nobody knows all the fullness of what God has for those who love him. And yet on this side of heaven, we do have the opportunity to start to get a glimpse of that, a taste of it. It is possible for us to start to know what God wants for us. Okay, if we seek out God's plan, if we live by his spirit, we put our flesh aside, we deny ourselves, we start doing the things that he wants. Now, in Samson, we have an example of a guy who just does whatever he wants. We'll go to some of the clips from Sunday, and after that, we'll get into discussion groups in the community. I hope you have a good discussion with your group. I hope you're able to just kind of think through Samson's story, how it might apply to your own life. There's a whole assortment of things that happen in these two chapters. You know, we could talk about singleness, we could talk about romance and wanting to date, the criteria for choosing who to date and for who not to choose who to date. We could talk about parenting. As parents certainly play a role in this, they know what's right and wrong, and they don't give much guidance to Samson to maintain the path, to stay on board with God. We could talk about friendship. We find out partway through that Samson doesn't have any friends at all. In fact, at his own wedding, the Philistines had to recruit 30 guys to be his friends for the week. Okay, so we could talk about friendship. Do you have friends? We could talk about, are the people you go to church with, are they just your recruited friends that you spend time with? Or do you have actual relationship with them? And we could talk about all sorts of things. This story is about God. It's about how God will do what he wants to do. He uses even sinful, selfish people. Because he loves us, because he's patient and merciful and gracious, but all in all, it's because he's a good God who has a plan, and he works towards those intended plans. So let's look at a few clips from Sunday. Hope you have a good discussion out there. If you're looking for a discussion group to join, you can go to our website, believerschurch.com. You can call the church office and get assigned to one. Otherwise, just stop by on a Sunday and join us for church and for worship, and you can talk to somebody in person at the central desk about it then. Well, hope you have a good night tonight, guys. God bless, and we'll see you on Sunday.
When we start reading this morning, we're going to have this expectation like maybe this guy would be living a godly life. His parents knew some very, very specific things from God. And so we might expect that they would have led him into these things, but we find out right from the beginning that this guy's not following God at all. Here's the problem that we as Christians have with Samson, okay? He's given this special calling from God. He doesn't live it out, and yet God still uses him. God still puts his spirit on Samson. And so it gets a little bit confusing. Is God endorsing Samson's sin, and is God endorsing Samson's selfishness? What he is he's a worldly guy who's very interested in himself. He wants to do what he wants to do. He's a guy who walks according to his flesh. He's completely self-centered. These questionable things that we're about to read about from Samson, does that mean that God led him into these things? That God enticed him into these actions? And the answer is no. This is all Samson. This is his own choice. This is his own desire. This is him just being a dude. Samson is a sinful guy who does what he wants, but we're going to find out God is also a guy who does what he wants. Here we see him as an adult, and he doesn't seem to care at all what God thinks. He doesn't seem to be living out any measure of faith. He's not doing anything except just bouncing around looking to gather up some general experience. Just gathering experience. He's not living for God. He sees a girl in Timnah, and he tells his parents to go get her for him. Okay, he wants this gal based on her outward appearance. Apparently, she was attractive to him. And guys, this is not a desire to find something wholesome, to find something helpful, to find something lasting. This is lust. This is a desire that's not about loving someone else. This is a desire to get something that he wants. There are things that seem right to us that doesn't make them right. Just because we feel like we want something, just because we feel like we need to have something, that doesn't mean that it's right. What if that desire is wrong? What if what's inside of you is what's wrong? That's the case that the Bible makes. If we intend to follow God, we need to care more about what he thinks than what we feel inwardly. And the question that his parents kind of pose back to him is it okay to marry a non-believer? If you're a believer, is it okay to marry a non-believer? The Bible answer to this question is no. Hey, God says it's wrong to seek a relationship and get married with a non-believer. If you're a believer, you shouldn't seek to get into a relationship if you're a believer with a non-believer. The Old Testament command, God tells his people, don't intermarry with the people around you. That's what Samson's violating right here. The New Testament command's a little bit different, but it's the same idea. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbelief. And it's a command in both testaments, so you can't really get away from it. Both of these fall under the category of marrying the right person. If you want to say it negatively, you could say the category of not marrying the wrong person. That's a double. Are you a believer? Are they not a believer? And you can take their name off the board. There's an important principle we need to live by. It's pretty easy. It's pretty basic. Christianity 101. You don't always get to have everything that you want. Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, you have to deny yourself. Don't spend the money that you don't have. Don't spend yourself on things that you shouldn't have. This is Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We're talking about following God, denying yourself in the context of having a romantic relationship. But God wants more than just your romantic relationships. This is one that messes a lot of people up. This is one that sets a lot of people off course with God. In fact, this would be in the top one, list of one, maybe, of what causes people to stray from God. Make your plan happen, Because what ends up happening then is you'll compromise the things God wants for you. You'll compromise on all the rest of your life. You'll give it all up just to have a relationship. And that's what Samson's doing. He's just doing it for sex. He's not even doing it for any form of intimacy. We don't know how old he is, but his parents aren't helping him here. Okay, they don't care enough to make sure that he obeys. They end up going along with him to get this girl. It's not that they pull back and say, that's a bad idea. They still go along with it. Verse 4 says, his mother and father did not know that this was from the Lord. For he, the Lord, was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. The question is, does this from the Lord, this occasion, this desire maybe, does this mean that God put this into Samson? Does this mean that God led Samson to do these things? This idea of it being from the Lord, here's what this means. God is looking for an opportunity against the Philistines. Samson's lust, disobedience, and bad temper are all going to get incorporated into God's plan to work against the Philistines. Basically, God is going to use Samson as an irritant to create a conflict between the Israelites and the Philistines. Why does God want confrontation? Let's talk about that for a second. The Philistines ruled over Israel. They didn't just live across the border in Philistia. They lived inside Israel. And the Israelites, even though they don't like it, they're doing nothing to try and get free from the Philistines ruling over them. Okay, previously, the book of Judges, we see this pattern repeats. The Israelites are enslaved to a group of people. They cry out to God. God sends them a hero or a rescuer, a judge, who then leads them in battle and leads them to break free from their captor. They're not doing that here. They're assimilating with the Philistines. Why does God want conflict? God's trying to pry them apart. Not because they want to, because he wants to. And God will do this in our lives. It might be that we're okay with our sin. We've developed a life for ourselves, circumstances that we're comfortable with. We don't want to change. And yet that's not at all what God has in mind for us. Question is God just going to let us go our own way forever and ever without ever trying to get in there and do some separating? Here he's trying to get in there and do some separating. Is God that hands-off where he just lets us do exactly what we want and never prods and pokes and tries to reach into our lives? He absolutely does. He'll do exactly this thing to us.